I appreciate your prayers as I try to bring the message from the Word of God. I'm tired. I'm going to try to bring a message. I hope God will bless it to your hearts. If you look with me at Romans chapter 7 a moment. And we'll be looking at a few verses in this chapter. And then at 1 Timothy, if you want to turn there, the first chapter. There's something born in us as human beings that wants us to have rules to follow and laws to keep. And they bring it over into Christianity. But I want to talk to you this morning about a believer's relationship to the law of God. The believer's relationship to the law of God. Let's read these few verses together in Romans 7, beginning with verse 1. Know you not, brethren? In other words, you know these things, for I speak to them that know the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. He's dead. So then, if while her husband liveth she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. He's dead. Wherefore, my brethren, you also, as believers, are become dead to the law. Now that word dead just means dead, I reckon. Dead. Just like if a woman's husband is dead, she's no longer under the law of her husband. He's dead. And we are become dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you should be married to another, even to him who raised us, who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We're married to Christ. Married to Christ, dead to the law. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members, to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, dead to the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, we were under the law, under bondage of the law, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the old letter of the law. We're dead to the law. The believer is dead to the law. Now let me show you another passage of scripture in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let me begin reading with verse 1. This is all tied together and important. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, an honest heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Sincere faith. From which some, having turned away, turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law. Now, I've experienced, I've been confronted by some of these. They want to be teachers of the law. Bring us under the law. But they understand neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. It had a purpose. God gave it on purpose for a purpose. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man. Do you hear that? The law is not made for a righteous man. We're dead to the law. But the law is made for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and of manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine. That's what the law was made for, to show them that they were out of line, they were out of step, they were under the bondage of the law and the judgment of the law, and they needed to have a change. They were condemned to condemn them. Now, there are so many passages in the New Testament that testify of the believer's relationship to the law. It's hard to know which ones to read, but I just read two very important ones. Nevertheless, from the beginning in the New Testament church, notwithstanding what the Scriptures said, notwithstanding Acts 15, what the apostles determined, that we're not under the law. Yet, there are many preachers who would bring the believer back under the bondage of the law. Now, the whole letter to the Galatians is written to confront this error. There were people who came in and wanted to bring them back under the law. Paul said, I came to preach the gospel to you. The gospel, God's free, sovereign, justifying grace. These folks want to bring you under the law. And this is what they said exactly, found in Acts 15. They said, we know that you believed. That's good. We know that you've been baptized. That's good. We know that you've received the Spirit like we did at Jerusalem back in Pentecost. That's good. But this is exactly what they said. Except you keep the law of Moses, you ain't going to heaven. You find that in Acts 15. It was a controversy back then. And it carried over to Galatia. Some of these people came down there. Paul came down there, straightened it out. Wrote them a letter. The whole letter to the Galatians, Paul addresses this error. He told them this. This is how important it is. He said, if you become entangled again with the law, you profit nothing from Christ. No profit from Christ. If you look to the law for any part of your salvation, you've lost Christ. You've lost Christ. Christ shall, his exact word, Christ shall profit you nothing. Galatians. I want to declare unto you today that the law of God is holy and just and good. Paul said that. The Scriptures testify that. We know that's true because God is holy and just and good. It's a reflection of His holiness. It's a reflection of His character, the holy law of God. God is holy. Now, like the Apostle Paul, I can truly say that I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But in Christ, the believer is fully, totally, and entirely free from the law of God. Totally, fully, entirely. He's not under the Old Testament law of tithing. That's gone. The law has been kept for him. He's not under the Old Testament law of the Sabbath. Some people say Sunday is our Sabbath. The New Testament, the New Covenant Sabbath. That's not so. Christ is our Sabbath. And it says that clearly, plainly. Christ is my rest. Christ is my rest. Listen to this simple passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every believer. There is no sense whatsoever in which a believer is under the law of God. Now, I've written this down carefully, and I'm going to read it to you carefully. I want you to understand it and get a hold of it. I think most all of you do. We have no covenant with the law. We are under a covenant of pure free grace. We have no commitment to the law. Our commitment is to Christ, who obeyed the law for us. We do nothing by constraint of the law. But the love of Christ constraineth us. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Now please listen carefully to these statements I've written down once again. The law was never given to save sinners, and it can never serve that purpose. The law was given to reveal sin, not to put it away. The law shows us what we are. When we stand before the law, when we read the statements of the law, we say, woe is me. I got to have help. The law was never given to save sinners, and it can never serve that purpose. Galatians 2:16. The law was never given to motivate the people of God, and it cannot serve that purpose. Now listen to this. The law was not even given to produce sanctification and holiness in the people of God, and it can never serve that purpose. Now what it was given for? Given to reveal sin. It was given to shut us up to faith. That's what the law was given for. And you find that last statement in Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3. The law was given to slay men. Look at Galatians 3 just a moment. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? No, sir. God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there had ever been a law given that could have given life, God would not have sacrificed His Son. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the law. Shut up to faith, which would afterwards be revealed, in bondage to the law, waiting upon faith, the gospel. Whereas the law was our schoolmaster, this is the conclusion, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That's what the law did. That's what the law did. Paul said one time, he said, before the law came, man, I was doing good. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. I died. Found out what kind of fellow I was. Romans chapter 3. Turn back there just a moment. Romans chapter 3. Verse 19, Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. What does the law do? It makes men guilty. It shows their guilt. It shows what kind of condition they're in before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Not justification from sin, not salvation from sin, the knowledge of sin, that we might flee to Christ. A schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's why the law was given. Not to save, but to condemn. But now the righteousness of God without the law, without the deeds of the law, by us. Verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, and there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. But I tell you this. You turn on over. Let me read some more. I want you to see this. Whom God has set forth, verse 25, be a propitiation. God sent His Son to be the satisfaction. God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins through faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The gospel shows that God is just in justifying the ungodly. That the holy lawgiver is just in justifying the lawbreaker because of Christ. Christ kept the law for them, their representative, their substitute, their surety. Christ did it all. Now, to declare, I say at this time, right here today, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? There is no place for it. It's excluded. By what law works? No, sir, by the law of faith. We simply believe. We don't work. The gospel, obeying the gospel is believing. Not doing, but believing. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's good. But then another question arises. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentile? Yeah, Gentiles too. He's the God of all. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Now this is that other question. Do we then make void the law through faith? I'm justified by faith. What does that have to do with the law? Am I setting the law aside? God forbid, we establish the law. Through faith, we establish the law. That's what faith does. I'll show you that in a moment. But the law was given to reveal sin, and it works well. The Apostle Paul said so in Romans 7, verses 9 and 10. Before the law came, I was all right. But when the law did come, sin revived in me, stirred up in me, and I died. I was dead. Dead. And it does its work well. The law can only reveal sin and condemn the sinner. Every time I just strictly consider the law alone, what does it do to you? Condemnation. Because no man can keep it except the God-man who kept it for us. A lot of people think they're keeping the law and living by the law, but they're just choosing what parts they like. There was the whole law. Christ said this. Paul said it in Romans again. The whole law is summed up in these two things. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love God with all your heart, you're going to keep the first table of the law. And if you love your neighbor with all your heart, you're going to keep the second table of the law. And that is all these things that have to do with our relationship with each other. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to lie about him. You're not going to try to steal his wife. You're not going to do any of these things that are forbidden. This man that one time told me about a friend he had that was talked about keeping the law. You keep the law? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, one day he came over here to Madisonville during the war, and he saw a boy get off the train in a soldier suit, and he thought that was his son for a minute. Looked like his son. I've done that on television. I see these soldiers over in Iraq now. Sue, that looked like our son. Sometimes it really did. They kind of all look alike. But anyway, he went back and told this fellow about that. And said, I tell you, my heart just did a flip when I thought that was my son. He said, if you loved your neighbor as yourself, you'd have done the same thing if you'd been my son. Nobody loves his neighbor as himself. Nobody. But Christ did. And he did it for me. He satisfied the law for me. Now, faith doesn't do away with the law. Look at Galatians 2 just a moment. Galatians 2. Sort of remember the first time I saw these two verses together, and they tied together in my mind and my heart, and it just shows in a brief passage how we're justified before God, how we're free from the law, free from condemnation. Verse 19, Paul said, and I declare the same thing. I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might finally live unto God. Freely live unto God. Through the law, dead to the law. Paul, how could that be? Through the law, through the law. Did you keep the law? He said, I sure did. And he kept it in the person who's borne witness to in the next verse. For I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead to the law. Law's already killed me. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Through the law, dead to the law. When Christ died, I died. When he lived in perfect righteousness, he gave it to me. That's my righteousness. What a wonderful, wonderful gospel. the law, dealt with my sin, while Christ hung on the cross, my sin was put on Him. Peter says He bore our sins in His own body on that tree. And doing so, the Bible says God made His soul an offering for sin. My sin's been paid for. And the justice of God, the law of God, been satisfied. And through faith in Christ, I enter into that freedom, that justification, that liberty. Christ has set me free. The law dealt with my sin. Satisfied God. Now, born witness to in several other places, we're dead to sin and alive to God. Free to serve God. Let me show you a passage back in Romans a minute. Free to serve God. Look at verse 14 of Romans 6. Sin shall not have dominion over you because you're no longer under the law. You're under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid, perish the thought. For know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his service you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. There's two ways to go, two ways to live. That's all. But God be thanked, God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, the gospel. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness, servants of Christ. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Serve God. Please God. For when we were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You didn't have any. All of your righteousnesses were filthy rags in God's sight. But now, being made free from sin, become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life. Everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Christ, we're free from the law. That's what Christ's life and death was all about. Satisfy, He obeyed the law every jot and tittle from the heart. Who for? For His elect. For me. Law's done with me. I'm free to serve Christ. And that's the only way you can serve Him freely, cheerfully. The only way. If we're driven by the hounds of hell or the whip of the law, it's not satisfying God. It's not serving God. He must be served freely. When Christ met on the cross, or hung on the cross, He met the holy law with my sins and satisfied God for them. Now, in Christ, through faith in Christ, through faith, we're dead to the law and alive to God. We're dead to the law and free to serve God. The law of God has no more power over the believer than a dead husband has over his wife. And that's not much, is it? He's dead. The law has nothing against me. The law now justifies me. And the Bible says concerning Christ that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins because he satisfied the law for us. It's justice, justice, justice. Pure grace, pure justice. Salvation. Comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read something before I close. Something that I tried to quote a while ago, but never made it too well. But now I want to read it to you. Acts chapter 15, turn there. No sooner than the gospel had been taken to the Gentiles, the controversy came up, the question, well, how are the Gentiles justified? What relation do the Gentiles have? Do they have to be circumcised now and brought under the law of Moses? And some people wouldn't let it go. They had a big conference down at Jerusalem, and there they settled it. Should have, because it was inspired of God, their answer. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren that except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. That's what they said. Now look up here. Verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did to us. And God put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? When you submit to the circumcision, Moses, you have submitted to keep the whole law of God, as they did in it, were supposed to in the Old Testament, but they broke it on every hand. The way to keep the law of God, satisfy God, be justified, made righteous before God, is to trust in Christ who did it. Who did it? And God looked upon him and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God's well pleased with him. I'm well pleased with him. Tickled to death. And that's the only salvation there is. Has nothing to do with keeping the law. That's been done by him for me. But we love him. We're constrained by the love of Christ. And we serve him freely. We're not driven. We're not forced. We're not under rules and regulations. We're under the whole of the word of God. If you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. And we try to. May God bless these words to every heart. For Christ's sake. Okay, Kevin.